You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
So this morning, we're going to wrap up our series in Romans 12. We're going to be looking at something that wraps up the series. We started off in Romans 12 looking at the worshiping life. Our big focus, loving Jesus, and how that's expressed through a worshiping life. A worshiping life of surrender. A worshiping life that leads to transformation, because we're choosing not to be conformed to this world and its patterns, but we're asking the Holy Spirit to transform us. That's a byproduct of the worshiping life, making us more and more like Jesus. It also includes a worshiping life that brings right perspective about who God is and His greatness, who we are, and also as we are to see each other in that. A worshiping life of stewardship, that we recognize that every good thing in our life is because God has entrusted it to us. And our important responsibility is to recognize that and pray and discern, okay, you've given me this, God. How am I to use this to bring honor and glory to you? Last week we talked about the importance, the expression of obedience in the worshiping life. That's the foundation, that simple obedience. God is honored just with simple obedience much more than any extravagant sacrifice that we might bring. And today we're going to look at how all that sort of comes together and culminates in the life that blesses, the worshiping life that blesses. The very first thing that God did when He created Adam was to bless him. He made him in His image, and He blessed Adam. He blessed humanity. The humanity that He had made, He blessed him. That's the very first thing that God did. We're made in His image. And we are people who are blessed by God, but we've also been entrusted with the responsibility of blessing God, as we did this morning with our worship. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. That is a decision, a choice that we make to bless the Lord. And so we can be blessed by God. God has blessed us. He wants to bless us. We are called to bless God, but it doesn't stop there. Remember how we've talked about this worshiping life is vertical in terms of our orientation to worship God and to love God, but He also calls us to take a horizontal plane and to love one another, and He also calls us to bless one another. Bless our brothers and our sisters, as we talked about last week. And today we're going to wrap it up by even looking at how God calls us to bless, yes, even our enemies. And you're thinking, well, that doesn't relate to me because I don't have any enemies. Everybody loves me, right? Well, I get that. I get that, okay? Nobody wants to walk around thinking, I've got enemies. Nobody wants that. Maybe it would be better for us to think of it in these terms. Maybe I want to think of it, and I want to the worshiping life that blesses those who oppose us. Is that more palatable? Maybe that communicates a little more clearly in terms of where we live our lives, because all of us have maybe a people group or just someone in our life who opposes us, or we feel that we're constantly opposed by. And so we see in Scripture that God calls us to bless even them, to bless even them. And we have been given this amazing gift, this amazing capacity to do that. In the book of James, James reminds us that these tongues that we have been given can be used to both bless God and to curse the very people who are made in His image. The choice is ours as to what we're going to do with these tongues. And then in Luke chapter 6, Jesus encourages us to bless all people, but particularly those who oppose us, to bless our enemies, not just to bless them, but to do good to them, to bless them, and to pray for them. And those three things go together, as we're going to see as Paul unfolds the end of Romans chapter 12 this morning. So blessing is not just saying nice things about someone. And if you're from the South, like I am, bless their heart. Bless their heart. And let's be honest, that has all kinds of insinuations, doesn't it? Oh, bless their heart. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, it's not that, okay? It's not that. It's not that kind of just colloquialism, just saying niceties or well wishes to someone. Blessing is a unique ministry. We'll call it a ministry because that's what it is. Entrusted to believers, to followers of Jesus, to affect God's good purposes in people's lives. You know, it's not so much a prayer of intercession, but it's more of a pronouncement of expectation on others based on God's good purpose for every person that He has created, including our enemies, including those who oppose us. God's called us to bless them, to bless them. And so let's look at how blessing is part of this worshiping life that we've been called to. We're looking at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to finish up the chapter today, verses 14 through 21. If you've got your Bibles, feel free to turn there with me. We'll have the text on the screen as well. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn." Just be present to people. Be present to people no matter what they're going through. "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you for your presence here. We have welcomed you with our worship. And we ask you now, Holy Spirit, to just direct our hearts, our minds, our thoughts toward what you want to speak to us this morning through your word. We know, God, that we can't do anything apart from your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that everything that you call us to, everything you require of us, you provide to us. So come, Holy Spirit, empower us, enable us to bless our brothers, our sisters, and those who oppose us, those who we might consider our enemies. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this thing of revenge, Paul starts right out by saying this is not a good or right option for followers of Jesus. But let's be honest, it can really feel good in that moment, can't it? It's like you got that itch, like a mosquito bite, a really big mosquito bite. And you that person's offended you, and you've got a zinger for them. And it's just sort of like you just want to scratch that, get that fingernail, just scratch that itch with that comeback. You know, it must be God. He gave me this great comeback to zing them with, right? Am I the only one that thinks that way? I don't think so. But we know that that's short-lived because that mosquito bite that we scratch gets infected just like our hearts and our minds do and our spirits do when we take the path of revenge. It is never, ever a good option. Here's the reality. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble," and the Rees LaRoy Standard Version also adds to that, "and bite marks." Bite marks, yes. We will have bite marks in this world. And so it's about recognizing that, but what are we going to do with those? He calls us to deal with the people who hurt us in ways that go completely counterculture to the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. And so rather than getting revenge or lashing out, he calls us to take the complete opposite approach. And this is a huge challenge for us. Because God's also made us to be people in his image who are people who desire justice, right? Justice? Like, okay, I've been wronged, or this person's been wronged. They deserve this. But God's like, I will take care of that. You do your part, I'll do mine. And we need to realize that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, again, to change us, making us more like Jesus, a work of transformation. This is a work that he will do if we will let him. By returning evil with good, evil can be conquered rather than perpetuated by acts of vengeance. This is the decision. This is a choice that we make, and we make this choice as followers of Jesus. Jesus modeled this perfectly and beautifully for us. He came to earth. He took on flesh. He laid aside his deity, and he lived sinlessly. He showed us how to live perfectly, how to fully live. And yet, what did we as humanity do? We accused him of all kinds of things. We persecuted him. We ultimately hung him on a cross. Romans 5, Paul reminds us that while we were sinners, God's enemies, that God gave Jesus to come to earth to die in our place so that we could be reconciled to God through Jesus and through his life, his death, his resurrection. And so this is our model. This is our model for us. Even on the cross, even as he is in excruciating pain, as he is naked, embarrassed before the world, what does Jesus do? He prays, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so he calls us to this, not out of some, you know, someone who hasn't already gone before us and done it so much more powerfully and so much more perfectly. And as we choose to not seek revenge and we choose to bless our enemies or those who persecute us or oppose us, this doesn't mean that we're going soft on evil. It doesn't mean that not taking revenge, we're not saying that the hurt is not real. That's not what we're saying. Evil is real and it hurts, and sometimes it hurts really badly and the effects can be very, very lasting. But when we say no to revenge, we are refusing to allow our own future to be determined by the evil that someone else has done. We're putting a stop to it. Because let's face it, we can see how violence between groups and vengeance between groups is just perpetuated for centuries. Look at the Middle East. You may have your own version in your own family of the Hatfield and McCoys in terms of this ongoing thing where there's just this ongoing feud, vengeance, revenge, pettiness. And when we choose to say no to revenge and choose to bless those who oppose us, our enemies, we're putting a stop to it. We're saying this is not going to affect my future and the future of my family. Paul says, don't let evil get the best of you. Don't let it get the best of you. And too often when we choose revenge and we choose to do a self-imposed justice, it does just that. It gets the best of us. It starts controlling our lives. It starts killing our hearts and our spirits and our souls. When we refuse to take revenge and deliberately rid ourselves, even of the desire for it, we are taking care and inviting the Holy Spirit to help us tend our souls and our spirits. And this is something that he wants to do, because what does it profit us, you know, to get revenge, to gain the whole world, to get one-upsmanship on our enemies or those oppose us if we lose our soul? And too often that's exactly what we do when we choose the path of vengeance and revenge. You know, it's bad enough that people hurt us. Why do we want to let them continue to bring pain and torment and destruction to our lives? The Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 3:9. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, again, choosing the opposite kingdom, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This is something that he calls us to do. He calls us to do this. And so this is something that God invites us to do, to choose to bless others. And it is the right thing to do. It is an act of obedience, period. But God in his goodness, God in his love, God who is always good, he turns it around and he uses it as an opportunity to bless us. He's good. He's always good. And what he commands is always good for us, always. And there are just those moments when we have to choose to believe that, to fully believe that with our whole hearts, with our whole lives. And so when we bless others, especially those who opposes us, it really does bless us. How does this happen? Well, here's one way it happens. When we bless those who oppose us, we shift our focus from the wounds of conflict, and it makes us go back to that transforming love of God. Remember the very first verse in chapter 12? In view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. This is the whole vantage point that we give. In view of God's mercy, I go for to give my life as a living sacrifice, that act of surrender. It all begins with that perspective that we are loved by God and He gives us His mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve because of our sinfulness and our brokenness, but He chooses to give us mercy, to extend mercy. And in light of that love and grace and mercy that He extends to us, He then calls us to receive it, to express that love back to Him with the worship of our lives, and to share that love and mercy with those around us, including our enemies, those who oppose us. Again, let's look back at verse 19 and 20. Do not take revenge, my dear brothers, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord, who's a God of justice. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, how many of you sort of like that verse? Yeah, that sort of passive-aggressive spirituality in us like sort of comes out. Yeah, I'll show you blessing. Visuals of heaping coals on people's head. Yeah, I know you guys. I am you guys. That's the problem. Yeah. So yeah, that's part of that sort of passive-aggressive kind of spirituality that, hey, blessing by spite. Yeah, out of spite, I'm going to bless you. Yeah, that's not the spirit of this text. Remember the whole text. We're talking about loving God and loving one another. So what is Paul saying here if he's not saying that? He is saying this. He's saying our blessings to everyone, our enemies, those who oppose us, they're designed by God to actually challenge others to wake up to the goodness of Jesus, demonstrated in our actions and our responses. I mean, a heap of burning coals is going to wake somebody up, right? It's going to wake them up. If they're asleep, if they're dulled to something, they're going to be awakened by that. And that's what Paul is talking about here. It's not some sort of subtle, underhanded act of violence, but it is a thing of saying, I want you to be awakened. I want you to be alive to the love that I have received by God, His grace, His mercy for me. I now want to extend that to you, and I give that to you with this blessing. We need to see that this is an opportunity as we bless our enemies, as we bless those who seem to always be against us. It's an opportunity for them to see the love that God has for them and to say yes to it. It's that opportunity that God, that He calls us to. And remember, it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. The kindness of God. And God chooses us, you and me, to be instruments, to be conduits, to be vessels of His kindness to the world around us. So Paul is saying specifically, you know, bless them with your mouth, but also when you have the opportunity to serve them and do good things for them, to do that. All of that together, word and deed, coming together to bless people. We need to remember that the people that we see as enemies are the very same people that God sees as His sons and daughters who are away from Him and have not yet received His love. We need to recognize that. We need to see that. And when it comes to blessing others, we need to be proactive with this. We don't want to just sit and wait until we get warm fuzzies for that person who just seems to be the bane of our existence, that always opposes us, has always got some smart comment to make about everything that we say or that we are or whatever. We can't wait until, okay, I feel like blessing this person. Now I will do it because all of my emotions and my thoughts and everything lines up with, yes, now's the right time. No, that's not. If we wait till then, it's never going to happen, right? It's never going to happen. So what can we do? What are some proactive things that we can do. Let me just give you one good starting place. And this is one that I found to be very beneficial in my own life, and I would share it with you as well. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you your quote-unquote enemy changed by the love of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a picture of that. What would this person look like saved? What would this person look like if they gave their lives to Christ, if they invited the rule and reign of God into every area of their lives? Lord, give me a picture. Give me a vision. Give me a little insight as to what that might look like, where this person who is just a bulldozer going doing wrong deeds would take that same kind of energy and drive and passion and go do things that would advance the kingdom. What would this person look like if they were changed and touched by your love? God, give me some insight into that. Bless my spiritual imagination to have a vision of that, to be able to see that, and then pray and bless what God shows you. Remember, our God is, He's good. He's always good. And everything that He has for us is good. Everything He calls us to is good for us. And it's God's will that this person, our quote-unquote enemy, that he or she would come to know him as the forgiver of his or her sins and the leader of his or her life. So we know this is the will of God, that he has good purposes, good plans for them. So ask God to give you that picture and then just pray as Jesus taught us to pray. When you don't know how to pray and maybe God's not giving you that picture, maybe you can't see that, remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in so-and-so's life. And you just pray that, and you say, well, I don't feel like that. I don't care. There are a lot of times that I pray just out of sheer obedience. It's like my heart doesn't feel that way, my mind doesn't feel that way, but I know it's what I'm supposed to do. And you're like, well, Reese, that's pretty shallow. Well, that's where I am sometimes. And don't tell me you're not there at times. But in that obedience, it's just simply saying, God, I know you've got good things for this person. I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come to them. Let your rule and reign come to every part of their lives. I bless your good kingdom purposes for their lives. I bless it in Jesus' name. And we choose to do that. And we do that. Recognizing, God, I'm giving myself to you as a living sacrifice. It's that surrender. It's, God, let your Holy Spirit continue to change me, transformation. It is that recognition, God, I need a right perspective of your greatness so that I can have a better idea of who I am, that I am loved by you. And then also I get a better perspective of the people around us, that I look at this person, I look at that person who may oppose me or may seem to be my enemy, and I know that you love them so much. And you've got good things for them. And you have called me to bless them in Jesus' name. You've called me to bless them in Jesus' name. And ultimately, the act of blessing those who oppose us is the direct result of a transformed life. And that's what this worshiping life is all about. I don't want to stay like I am. God's not called us to stay as we are. He loves us as we are, and He invites us into transformation that comes as the Holy Spirit meets us, as we welcome the presence of God into our lives through our lives of worship, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 24/7, 365, worshiping lives, inviting the presence of God to change us, make us more and more like Jesus. And He does that, and as a result, then we are able to, as the Holy Spirit empowers us, to bless those who oppose us, to bless those in Jesus' name.